flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Someone say, he is. Someone shout, he is. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, here's the word for this morning. We are what? Ambassadors. Everyone say it. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, or instead of Christ, or in His place, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the Lord wants to talk to us this morning, and I don't have a whole lot of a sermon this morning, but I believe I have a word from the Lord for this church and for our guests that are here. And God is going to honor His word, and He's going to honor our worship this morning. And one more time, if you just set that precious Bible down on the pew, and if you just literally just lose yourself in the presence of God for a minute or two, and just give Him thanks and praise, because Jesus is in this place this morning. And that's the most important fact we need to know. Jesus is here, right now, right here. I give you praise, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, God. I give you praise, Jesus. I give you praise, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a community that operates under certain principles. And in this community called the Church, this wonderful community that we are a part of, we do what Paul said in this verse. Guys, if you'll kind of help me out, just keep these scriptures up on the screen. Let's jump back to verse 16. Paul said, we don't know anyone after the flesh. We don't just know them by what we see outwardly, or we don't know them just by their human ability or their human potential. Because he said, we have known Christ after the flesh. He said, we knew Jesus like that. We evaluated Jesus like that. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. He was not a political leader of any reputation. He was a humble servant. He was a lamb led to the slaughter. He said, we did know Christ that way, and look where it got us. We crucified Him. We knew Him only after the flesh. We knew Him only by what we saw. We knew Him only by the outward. And so we crucified the Lord of glory. And he said, yet now, henceforth, now we don't know Jesus after the flesh at all. In fact, we seek after Him by His Spirit. We are here this morning as a community of believers to seek after the Lord by His Spirit. It bends the rules of religion. It bends the rules of public gatherings, because really there are times in our services where nobody is in control except this intangible presence of God, that as you worship Him, it becomes tangible to you. And so it's totally different. And Paul said, as a result of that, we learned our lesson with Jesus. We knew Him after the flesh. Our nation knew Him after the flesh, and we crucified Him. Look where that got us. So now we don't know Him after the flesh. We seek Him through His Spirit. And we don't know each other just after the flesh either. But there is a bond of the Spirit that unites the church together. And then he says in the next verse, probably my favorite verse out of 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Literally, the word is species. He's not just a revised or revamped or renovated human being. He's literally a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And he says this, and it's very important for us to realize, that old things are passed away. Old things are gone. And then he says this. It's so key to understanding who you are in Christ. He said, behold, all things are become new. Someone say all. Now, he's not just talking like some Christians seem to understand it. He's not just talking about all the things since you became a Christian. He's not just saying that you've got this old life with all your habits and all your hang-ups and all your past and all your history, and that's always going to be with you. You are going to carry that burden and that baggage from now to the end of your life. But since you became a Christian, all things since then are new. So you've got this schizophrenic double life going on. You've got this new life in Jesus, but you've still got all the junk that you were born with, all the junk that you carried, all the junk that you did to yourself. That is not what Paul is saying. He is saying if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things, post-salvation, pre-salvation, all things are become new. God is so powerful and he's so awesome that he has the ability to reach into your past, into things that you did to yourself through your own bad decisions. And he can reach back into your past. And at the moment of your salvation, those sins are forgiven. And he changes them. And he makes them a testimony of his grace. And so even things that the devil meant to kill you, hurt you, damage you, and keep you down for the rest of your days, those things God makes new, and they are used as a testimony of the grace of God. And if there's anybody in here that's experienced that, it would be perfectly in order for you to just give God thanks for it. Because if you're in Christ, you are not any longer the person you used to be. You're a brand new creature. You're a brand new species. You have a brand new future. That's an incredible privilege. Paul said all of those old things are passed away. And then he continues on to where I want to go this morning. He said, all things are now of God. He has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. But that is not the end. He has also given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God settled the relationship between him and between you. God made that so it would work again. You had fractured the relationship. Sin had broken the relationship. But God reconciled you to himself. He repaired that relationship that was gone, that was broken, that was non-existent. And then he does this to the people of God. Church, you need to pay attention to these scriptures, because the same God who reconciled us to him now gives to us the ministry of reconciliation. It is not enough as a child of God to show up at the house of God and to warm a pew and to enjoy the presence of God and to sing the songs of the church and to worship God and hear sermons. That's not near enough. God has better and higher and grander designs on your life than that. He said he has now given to us the very same ministry that Jesus exercised. He reconciled a fallen world to God. He was God in Christ. He was humanity and divinity together, bringing those two poles that were so far apart. He brought them together. And now he says to his church, you go and you do the very same thing. You take a sinful, fallen human world and you reconcile that world to me. Do it through your worship, do it through your lifestyle, do it through your preaching, do it through your prayer, do it through your witness, do it through whatever you can. But you are ambassadors, you are reconcilers, you're given the ministry of reconciliation. That is the purpose of every single child of God. For far too long, we have relegated that to the paid staff of some particular church or other. For far too long, we've relegated that to a few that might be more outgoing in personality. But God, when he rewrote your DNA, when you experienced the new birth, when you experienced salvation, God wrote it into your spiritual genetic code that you were now a bridge between God in heaven and a lost world. You're the bridge between God and your family. You're the bridge between God and your kids. You're the bridge between God and your neighbors. You are the bridge between God and your coworkers. God loves them far too much to just let you sit on a pew for the rest of your life. And that's what God has done with the church. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We were once God's enemies. You might have been a good person, a religious person, a nice neighbor, but you were an enemy of God by your very birth because you were a sinner. But aren't you glad that God reached into your life and what was once an enemy, he made a friend. You are a friend of God. You're a child of God. You're a servant of God. So God corrected all that. And then he says, now I want you to help me do the very same thing for somebody else. Somebody lift up your hands in the presence of God and just ask God to make His Word crystal clear to you this morning. Because God wants to speak to us today. God wants to speak through this service and through this message today. God gives us the privilege of making other people His friends also. Now, let me ask you a question. How did God do this? How did God reconcile a world that was anti-God, an enemy of God? How did He reconcile that world to Himself? How did He do that? He did it through forgiveness. That's how He did it. God took sinful humanity. He took people that had this long, nasty record of sins against Him. And on the cross, He wiped that record clean. Anybody glad for forgiveness? Now, God says through His Word, He says, He's wiped out your sins. He's cast them in the depths of the sea. He's wiped them out like a cloud. He's forgiven them. He's covered them. There's a bunch of adjectives in the Word of God that tell how God has dealt with our sins. But it's all summed up in this one concept that He forgave us our sins. When you didn't deserve forgiveness, when you didn't merit forgiveness, when you couldn't have paid for forgiveness, God forgave you of your sins. Now, here's the question. Guess how the church helps people get back in touch with God. It is through this wonderful thing called forgiveness. You cannot hold out the love of God to someone and simultaneously hate them. You cannot hold out the love of God to someone and simultaneously disdain them. You cannot hold out the love of God to a community and simultaneously not want the community anywhere near you. You've got to be a bridge between heaven and earth, between a holy God and an unholy humanity. And that's what the church is commissioned to do. It's not always easy to do that. There are things that go on in society. There are things that go on in politics. There are things that go on in government that we don't agree with and we don't like. And we'll do everything we can to turn that around and to turn that tide, because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So the more we can have righteousness in Canada, we're going to be in line for that. We're going to be supporting that. That's wonderful. But when all of that is done, and you've done everything you can do in the political arena, in the government arena, and you've gone to all the forums, and you've participated in all the open discussions, when you've done all of that, the fact still remains that there's a very unholy world out there that doesn't know God, and the only bridge between them and the God that we need, that they need, the only bridge between them and the heaven that the drama team portrayed this morning, the only bridge is you. And the only way that we can interact with them, the only way we can deal with them, is the same way that Jesus reconciled us to Himself. It's through the power of forgiveness. It's through the power of looking at someone and saying, I don't agree with your lifestyle, I don't agree with your choices, I don't agree with your sin, but let me show you the love of God through me toward you. And if you can't do that, you need to take a trip to an altar and get in the presence of God for a little bit, because God so loved the world that He gave. What do you expect that He thinks we should do? We should also so love all the people in the world that we give ourselves to them. We are given the ministry of reconciliation. A lot of people don't like to hear about that. A lot of people like to get themselves cleaned up and get their problems dealt with and have a little community to support them, and that's the end of the story. But folks, that's not the end of the story. As long as there's one lost person in Fredericton, there's still a job for the children of God to do. Amen. Now, the church has to be a forgiving institution. And I need to drill down here for a minute. We're going to be talking about this Wednesday night. If you can be here, you need to be here. Powerful lesson. But if you can't forgive someone else, then you're not going to be able to, that's already in the church, you're not going to be able to show the forgiveness of God and the love of God to anybody else. If you can't show God's love and God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's mercy to the people that are already in your life, then you're going to have a hard time showing it to anybody else that you don't even agree with. How many want God to use you to reach somebody, just in any way? So we need to get this principle. The principle is this, that the church has to be a forgiving institution, because our God, who created the church and commissioned the church, He's a forgiving God. I watched a little video clip. Some church had put it together for their service, and they were going through all of these complaints that people have. You know, they're out in a restaurant and they're mad because their food is late, or they're out in a place of business and they're angry because the service isn't up to par. And they just went through a long list of complaint after complaint after complaint after complaint after complaint. All legitimate complaints, all very logical complaints. But then it asked the question, you know, who are we representing when we are the children of God and we're out there interacting with the world? We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And Paul said, therefore, you need to glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. So you need to show the love of God to everyone you come in contact with. That's where Christianity works itself out in a practical way. That's where Christianity becomes more than a song on Sunday and a sermon on Sunday. That's where it becomes very practical. Now, here's what I notice in this passage. Paul says in the next verse, he said, God was in Christ. He reconciled the world unto himself. He didn't impute their trespasses unto them. He didn't hold it against them. And he has now committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are, and here's the word, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is just the same, as though God stood here and he beseeched you, as though God stood in your place at that restaurant, God stood in your place at that workplace, and you are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. It's just the same. And we are reconciling people to God by what we do and how we interact with them. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank in a foreign nation. He is sent by one sovereign or one state to another, and he is its resident representative. An ambassador, get this picture. Paul's the first one in Scripture who ever really uses this image because it was created by the Greek culture. The word occurs other places in Scripture, but it's us translating the English Bible. But Paul was really the one who first introduced this term. He said, we are dignitary sent by the kingdom of heaven to a foreign country, to earth. We are sent to a land that we don't really belong to anymore. We are strangers and we are pilgrims here, but we are also ambassadors here. We are sent by heaven on a mission. We are, the church is, the highest ranking diplomatic representative of the kingdom of heaven on this earth. You are not just another human being, one of 6 and some billion people. You are a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Everywhere you go, every word you say, every person you interact with, you are an ambassador for heaven. You have a high diplomatic status in the kingdom of heaven when you act for God in that way. And Paul said, you're ambassadors. Now, there are several things that means. That one word, it has a whole wealth of meaning, because, first of all, ambassadors always speak and act for their home country. We not only speak for heaven, we act for heaven. So you get to be the hands of heaven that embrace someone who has fallen and you restore them. You get to be the mouth of heaven that speaks encouragement into somebody's life. You get to be the feet of heaven that go somewhere and do something to impact somebody with the gospel. You get to be the heart of heaven that cares and loves and is broken for a lost world. You get to be that, because an ambassador always acts and he always speaks for his home country. And in return for that, God, in sending his ambassadors into a hostile country, embassies are very different around the world. If you go to the embassy, the Canadian embassy in Washington, D.C., you'll find a beautiful building just down the street from the White House. It's big, it's nice, it's beautiful, it's very secure and very safe. But if you went to the U.S. embassy in the nation of Iraq, you'll find something that's an embassy in under hostile territory. You'll find an embassy that's heavily fortified. You'll find an embassy that there's soldiers on patrol all the time, because that embassy is in foreign hostile territory. Do you realize that the children of God, when we are in the world, we are in it, but we are not of it. So we're in a little bit of hostile territory sometimes. Jesus said it this way: if they rebuked and they rejected and they were angry at your Lord and your Master, don't you think it's strange when they're angry at you? Don't think it's strange when sometimes they reject you. You are an ambassador from the kingdom of heaven, and sometimes you get put on hostile territory, and you have to still be an ambassador. You still speak for the kingdom of heaven, and you still act for the kingdom of heaven. So in return for that, God gives his ambassadors diplomatic immunity. He gives us protection. He gives us provision. He gives us His Spirit. And when you walk through this earth and through your life as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, you are accorded the privileges of an ambassador of that nation. And so heaven gives you privileges like this. It gives you the privilege of praying in the name of Jesus. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do. It gives you the privilege of speaking to a disease and saying, my Bible says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you get to pray those kind of prayers. You get to pray those kind of prayers that say that miracles and signs and wonders can be done in the name of Jesus, because you are a representative of heaven. The church hardly recognizes who she is anymore. The church has bought into this business that we are yet another institution. And if we have good leadership principles, and if we have good business practices, then we can survive and thrive as a church in the 21st century. I'm here to say that's all good. And we read all those books, and there's some wonderful principles there. But the church doesn't operate according to the best business practices when it comes to the things of the Spirit. And the church doesn't operate according to human leadership principles when it comes to the things of the Spirit. In fact, the best times we have around here, the best services we ever have around here, are when leadership is down with you and you're with them, and we're all just seeking after the presence of God together. Because when God moves in, He takes leadership of His church in a sovereign way. So with all respect to all the books and all the brains and all the principles, that's all wonderful. But there is a seeking after God. We need His protection. We need His provision. We need heaven's government. And so God gives His ambassadors. He gives them immunity, diplomatic immunity. None of these diseases, God said, I will put on you. Sometimes we take things far too we just kind of open up and let everything walk into our lives. We take it far too casually. We let the devil come in one day, and we let somebody else's attitude come in the next day, and we let somebody else's problem come in the next day, and we just bring our own baggage in the next day. And Paul said, you are not like that anymore. You are a new creature. If you choose to act like that, if you choose to have an attitude like that, you can do it. But God set you free from your past. He gave you a brand new present, and He gave you a glorious future. So what you need to do is you need to start living like the creature that you already are. You need to start acting like the person that you already are. Heaven is not waiting until after the rapture to figure out, did I get there or didn't I get there? Eternal life is not, do I have it? I'll wait till I get to heaven, and if I get there, I'll know I have eternal life. No, Paul said, you have eternal life in you right now. What's going on in your heart by the Spirit right now is the very same feeling you're going to have when we dance before the Lord in heaven for millions of years. It's the very same Spirit. Our problem is we get our eyes on humanity, and we get our eyes on circumstance, and we get our eyes on situations, and we let all of those things they become baggage to us. They weigh us down. They trip us up. And we live that way, and we don't have to live that way. When God commissioned you to be an ambassador for His kingdom, He put a hedge of protection round about you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and be saved. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He covers you over with His wings. So there's protection all around you. There's protection in front of you and behind you, on either side. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So you have much greater status than what you think you do. That's not to give you a big head. That's to give you a big heart. And when you walk through your life, and when you walk through your neighborhood, and when you walk through your school or your workplace, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Ambassadors are invested. There's a long legal word here, plenipotentiarity, and it means that ambassadors are invested literally. Now, you may not believe this. You may have been around church too long to get this. Maybe you've just kind of sat in a pew over and over, and you've kind of got used to the way things are. But let God open your mind to His Word today. Ambassadors are invested with all of the power of their home country. When an ambassador speaks, he speaks for the state or the sovereign that sent him. when you open your mouth, it is not an accident. The scripture says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I'll tell you what the problem is with most of us, is that we loose a lot of things that God never wanted us to loose in our lives. The way you talk when you hit the parking lot today, the way you talk on your way home today, that's what you're loosing into your life, everything that you say. You can speak God's words or you can speak the devil's words. You can speak God's goodness or you can speak the devil's evilness. You can speak whatever you want. But when you loose it with your mouth, what you're doing is you're speaking it into your own life. But there's a God in heaven who invested in His church, and in the weakest saint, He invested all the power of the kingdom of heaven. So you can do whatever you want. You can speak bad things into your life. You can speak negativity into your life. Or you can say with the scripture, let the weak say, I am strong. I might not look strong. You might not think I'm strong. The devil might not want me to know I'm strong. But let the weak say, I am strong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's totally different. An ambassador is endued with the power, all the power of their home country. And I thought of this, and I asked the drama team to do that song today because this really hit home to me when I was studying earlier this week. In the event of war, the sending country, the sovereign country, the home country, they reserve the right to recall their ambassadors in the event of war. And ambassadors are given safe passage back to their home country. Now, in heaven's terms, it works like this. We are not very far distant from an event in Scripture that is called the rapture of the church. You younger folks, if you listen to Pastor for just a minute, because the older generation, they grew up in times when everybody talked about prophecy all the time. And so they just kind of naturally get this. They it's become part of who they are. They've heard for so many years that the Lord is coming, and it's part of who they are. They've listened to it over and over again, and they've soaked it in that the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He could come at any moment. And so you always have to be ready. But in the younger generations of the church, we've had it good. We've been blessed. We have a whole lot of material things that our elders didn't have. And life is pretty comfortable living as a child of God here on this earth. But never you forget that the church is still in hostile territory in many, many ways. We have missionaries that hazard their lives for the gospel every day that they live. They are on hostile soil, but they are endued with power from the embassy at home. And they are given that power to do the work of God. Don't you ever forget that Jesus is coming back. There's coming a day very soon when all those pictures you saw and millions more, we're going to be reunited with those folks, because God is going to say, enough is enough. The time's up, the time's over, and I'm taking my church home. And the most important appointment that you have is not whatever you have on your schedule for dinner. It's not whatever you have on your schedule for 2 weeks from Friday. It's not whatever you have on your schedule for next year's vacation. The most important appointment that we hardly hear tell of anymore in Christianity in North America. The most important appointment is that you've got to be ready for the moment when Jesus Christ returns for His church, because He's going to call all of His ambassadors home. Now, until we get there, we're not supposed to sit around in a field with a white robe on, kicked back in a hammock, drinking lemonade. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. And if there's one more lost soul in Fredericton, we've still got a job to do. And churches, they don't like to hear that. Our church, good church, great church, on its way to becoming a wonderful church. God is moving here, and we're thankful for it. But you know what? We don't like to hear about get up and go. Get up and reach. Get up and go preach. Get up and go teach all nations. We don't like to hear that. We like to hear, come on in, sit down, and we'll pray for you. Come on in, sit down, and hopefully the music and the message will minister to you. But can you feel it? Can you hear what God's been calling us to do? Can you feel what God's been stirring us up to do? This is not about an address on Downing Street in Fredericton. This is about the call of God to all of His people in every church in the last days. There's a job to do. There's a lost world out there. There are people that don't know God, and God has committed to you and to you and to you and to you the ministry of reconciliation. God won't let you sit in a church pew. God won't let you just sit down and be ministered to. He's going to nag at you until finally you get it. That you are more than just a pew warmer. You are more than just a church member. You are more than just a religious service attender. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. And God is going to call His ambassadors home. And before that day comes, we better get about the Father's business. Here's the point that really struck home. It is a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven. But Paul said, God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. For this reason, that we might become, we might be made, we might be turned into the righteousness of God in Christ. When you come to God, some of you new people, you're experiencing it right now. Bless you for that. We're behind you. We're with you. We're praying for you. We're here to answer your questions. When you come into contact with God, He begins to bring His righteousness into your life. We talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago. God's righteousness is His right turning. That's what the word means. What you don't realize about your life in the world is that everything is upside down already. You've been so used to it that you don't even realize that it's wrong. You don't even realize that it's against God's word. You don't even realize that it's hurting you sometimes. Sometimes with age, you know, people will get into midlife, and then I think just because of the number of years they've lived, sometimes they have the wisdom, sometimes not. But sometimes they have the wisdom to look back and say, all those decisions I made, they really hurt me. They really hurt my family. They really hurt my marriage. They really hurt the people that I was in contact with. Sometimes people have that kind of maturity, but a lot of times, even then, they don't. But the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it cuts asunder, and it lets us see the difference between that human thinking and godly thinking. And the plain truth of the matter is that if you don't have a relationship with God, your life is upside down. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to. But when you come into God's presence, when you come into relationship and covenant with Him, He begins to put His righteousness in your life. Righteousness is that inward feeling that just says, I need to do that different. I need to say that different. I need to act toward those people different. And righteousness, God's righteousness, is His right turning. It starts to turn things in your life that were upside down. It starts to turn them around. It's a process. Sometimes it takes some time. It always takes some effort. And God does that. He changes you. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You become an ambassador, a testifier, a witness of what God has done for you. Now, when you get a bunch of ambassadors together, like this, that is a little embassy. The church is literally an embassy of heaven on earth. Now, there's a principle in international law called extraterritoriality. I know that's a word you use all the time. But here's what it means. That when an ambassador is inside his embassy, according to international law, it's as if he was standing on the soil of his home country. In that embassy where the ambassadors work, in that embassy where the ambassadors are headquartered to do their work in that country, when they are there, only the laws of their home state, only the laws of their home country apply in that place. It's no longer the laws of the country that they're in. It's no longer the customs of the country they're in. It's the laws of their home country, and those laws only apply. That's why ambassadors have diplomatic immunity. So let me tell you something about this service this morning and this day today and our place here in God's plan for today. We are in an embassy of heaven on foreign soil. We're not better than anybody else out there. We just found God before some of them did. And it's our job. Don't you ever get a big head about knowing God. It's your job, if you know God, to communicate that knowledge to somebody else. But let me tell you something about the presence and the power and the place of worship that we are in this morning. In this place, only God's rules matter. None of the rules out there that messed you up in the first place matter when you're here. You're on a little embassy of heaven on planet Earth where the people of God gather. It's not the building, it's not the mortar, it's not the siding, it's not any of that. It's that God's people are together, and where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. I'm here when you're here in my name. So how many came in the name of Jesus this morning? You came to see what God would do, not what you could do. So if you're here in the name of Jesus, and we've got all of the ambassadors of heaven together, all those that are called by His name and commissioned by Him, when we get together, there are no rules from earth that supersede the laws of God. So the law of earth says, the law of sin says, that you can never be made whole, that you can never be different, that you can never have a new future, that you're always bound by your past. That's the law out there. But when you step into the presence of God, when you step into the embassy of heaven, all of those laws are broken. Their power is broken because there's a higher law that works here. There's a higher law that works in your life when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And so in this place this morning, the world may say that you're bound, but Jesus says, He that the Son has set free is free indeed. The world may say that you're addicted. The world may say that you're a reject. The world may say that you don't have the class or the clout or the political position to amount to very much in life. But the Bible says completely different. It says you are a valued member of the human race, and God wants even more than that. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to be His anointed one. He wants to make your life different than what it was in the past. Because you're in an embassy of heaven. Paul said it this way: we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you could only imagine what's going on right now. We are in God's presence. So all the baggage and all the bondage and all the rules and all the restrictions that you carried in here with you, if you will reach out to God in faith this morning, none of them matter. You may have come in here sick, but you're in the presence of a healer. You may have come in here bound, but you're in the presence of a liberator. You may have come in here with a whole lot of past baggage, but you can walk forward into a new future because God said, I make all things new. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Now I'd like the people of God all around us, if you just lift up your hands and prepare to just one more time enter into the presence of God. Because God really does want to touch somebody's life. He'd like somebody to walk out of here this morning in a brand new way, with a brand new attitude and a brand new future. He'd like somebody to be able to do that in His presence this morning. Would you just keep praising God and just stand to your feet all over this building? All over this building, would you stand to your feet and just continue to give God praise? Just continue to give God thanks. Because you're in His presence. And in His presence, all of the things that He's promised in His Word, all